Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com, proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
What's going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 10 o'clock tonight. Lakers Rockets tomorrow. It will be game five, an opportunity for the Los Angeles Lakers to finish up the series against the Houston Rockets and start prepping for the Western Conference. We got a lot to get into tonight. Like I mentioned, 2 hours of Los Angeles, just dedicated to Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Nothing better than doing this, and it's great to do it in between game four and game five. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to spend some time talking about tomorrow's game, the potential matchup against the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. We got all these great stories around the NBA that we'll hit on. Keep you posted on that Toronto Raptors, Boston Celtics series. And then I have a couple guests that I do want to invite to the show a little bit later. Brad Turner of the LA Times. We'll talk some Lakers. Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Rockets for the Houston Chronicle. We'll get his perspective from the Houston Rockets. Okay, so let's start with this. Kind of prepping for the show tonight, getting things all going. Got all the topics that I want to get into. Want to hit on how the Lakers' defense has been doing. Want to hit on how Rajon Rondo's been doing. And I'm keeping an eye on that Clippers game. Clippers and the Denver Nuggets. And then I stopped keeping an eye on that game because Clippers, I think, took a 16-point lead. Something along those lines. They were up big. Denver comes all the way back. And I had a topic, for those who don't know, by the way. Clippers lost in the game against the Denver Nuggets earlier today. So they lost 111-105, the final score. So that series is now 3-2. They have another game coming up on Sunday. So why is that significant if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan? There's been so much hype around the Los Angeles Clippers. And don't get me wrong. It's justifiable to an extent. But I think a lot of the time what's happening is those who thought at one point during the regular season before we went to this Orlando bubble that the Lakers, that's the team to beat, went out there, took care of the Milwaukee Bucks, took care of the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, they go 2-0 against those teams. And then after that loss to the Brooklyn Nets, NBA stops, 4 months off. Everybody goes down to Orlando. Lakers have been down there since July 9th. And you start watching this Los Angeles Lakers team in the Orlando bubble. Really, it was tough, very difficult to gauge the Lakers and whether they just were a different team. Was it the loss of Avery Bradley? Why are they losing? Or, no, this is just a team that's going to turn it on and turn it off whenever they feel like it. So the regular season was really tough to gauge. But the reason why I say, you know, I want to kind of shift my attention and go back and forth between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. You go on any of these national shows, you take a listen right here on our network on 710 ESPN. A lot of experts out there got the Los Angeles Clippers. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the Clippers. But I've never felt more confident about this Los Angeles Lakers team competing for number 17 than I do right now. And there are many reasons why I feel that way. A lot of those reasons have to do with watching how the Lakers are winning these games. Lakers can win in a number of different ways on a night-in, night-out basis. They go up against the Portland Trailblazers in the first round. I don't need to get into all the hype that was around the Portland Trailblazers and everybody crowning them as one of the best teams that they've ever seen in their life when the reality is they went 7-2 in the Orlando bubble. Every game meant something where the Lakers, it didn't mean something. They were squeaking out wins against teams like the Brooklyn Nets. They were losing games that they should have won. But long story short, once push came to shove and the Lakers got a chance to play the Portland Trailblazers, they took care of business. But there was this fear factor being set around, watch out for that backcourt. Who's going to stop Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum? They got, you know, and you even had some people saying that this was going to be one of those series where the number 8 team upsets the number 1 team. I think those that didn't buy into the hype machine ended up seeing over time, especially in the NBA, the best team is always going to win. Put that series to the side. Now we move on to the Houston Rockets. Again, there's hype behind the Houston Rockets, and I don't think people thought the Rockets are really going to give the Lakers I didn't think it was a seven-game set. I called five games before the series started. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that the Lakers can't drop a game tomorrow and all of a sudden we're, kind of battling in game six to just wrap it up four games to two. But the Lakers are in a position tomorrow to handle business and end the series in five games. Where the Clippers, on the other hand, this is a Clippers team that everybody's been hyping up and talking about. There's no way to stop them. And just look at all, they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And I hear people all day long talking about Kawhi being the best player in the world. Well, you're not watching Laker games if you think Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the world. Go watch some Lakers basketball and see what LeBron's doing on a night-in, night-out basis. Go see the control he has in a game where he takes over for the Lakers, and it doesn't have to be from points, and it doesn't have to be in certain stat lines. No, he just controls the game. Now, because he's so great, his stat line is always ridiculous, but go watch LeBron on a night-in, night-out basis. Back to the Clippers. Clippers took care of the Dallas Mavericks. They won 4-2. They lost 2 games to the Mavs. Porzingis, the second best player for the Dallas Mavericks, didn't play for most of that series. One game he was ejected, and then he had the injury, missed I think the final 2 games. So for the most part of that series, he didn't play. Now you got the Los Angeles Clippers against the Denver Nuggets. And the Clippers find themselves up 3-2, an opportunity tonight to obviously end that series. This is a position Lakers are going to be in tomorrow. And, you know, clearly for the Lakers, this is going to be important. It's very important tomorrow to take care of business. But I'll talk about Game 5 in a little bit. But you got this Clippers team that had a chance to close it out. They gave up a 16-point lead, 16-plus point lead against the Denver Nuggets and lost. They gave up a 16-point-plus lead against the Dallas Mavericks and lost. They should be absolutely dominating the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets. Now, do the Clippers have this team where, you know, they have the ability to turn the switch on and off? They do. They actually turn it off quite often, or turn it on and turn it off quite often. But with all that being said, the Lakers, I feel, it's not just talent that's winning them games. It's not just LeBron James and Anthony Davis that are single-handedly winning games. Don't get me wrong, these guys have been unbelievable. But I feel like the coaching staff has been outstanding. I feel like the Lakers can adjust to any style. Rockets want to go small ball, cool. Lakers will go Anthony Davis at the five. Or even if JaVale is starting, he's playing 7 minutes. Dwight's on the bench. Nobody's moaning and complaining. They understand why it's important that they're not playing in this series, that they're going to get their opportunities in the Western Conference Finals if it is the Los Angeles Clippers. If it's a team that the Lakers have to adapt to. So they adapt to the small ball style. They adapt to the backcourt of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. You want to play tough ball with the Lakers, which is what the Clippers are going to try and do to the Los Angeles Lakers. I feel very confident that the Lakers will be able to adapt to that style as well. Why do I say all this? I say all of this because Lakers took care of Lakers took care of the Portland Trailblazers in 5 games. They've played 4 games against the Houston Rockets, are sitting at 3-1. I've not felt this confident, or I have not felt this good about the Lakers' chances of winning an NBA championship since probably back in March. March, when they won those 2 games against the Bucks and the Clippers, and you knew you were going to lock up the number one seed, and you knew everybody's going to have to come through Staples Center unless you're playing the Bucks in the finals. I was feeling good back then. All Laker fans were feeling good. We're all walking around with our chest out. Felt good out there. Air felt good. Everything felt good. But since then, you know, obviously things have changed. Now we're back in the Orlando bubble, and you have all these different factors and all these different elements that are coming to play. I'm watching Clippers basketball. I'm watching Los Angeles Lakers basketball. I do think these are the two best teams in the NBA. I do feel whoever comes out of the Western Conference will win an NBA championship. Those are my thoughts. That's my feeling. And I feel great about where the Los Angeles Lakers sit right now. All right, when we come back, I want to continue on this conversation. Plus, if you guys want to be a part of Lakers Talk, 877-710-ESPN. You could feel free to chime in on this one. Are the Clippers too overhyped right now? Are the Lakers the team to beat? By the way, you could disagree with me. I prefer when you disagree with me. Makes the conversation that much better. Plus, can I spend some time talking about Rajon Rondo, please? Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think the Clippers are a little overhyped. What do you want me to tell you? Everybody's talking about the Clippers on a night-in, night-out basis as if they're the clear-cut favorite and LeBron James and Anthony Davis just don't exist. That this Los Angeles Lakers team hasn't gone 7-2 in the postseason. Took care of the Portland Trailblazers. We know what happened in that series, and we know how quick that series was over, and they got an opportunity tomorrow to take care of the Houston Rockets and kick back and watch Game 6 between the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers coming up this Sunday. Maybe it's just me, but I think they're overhyped. I really do. And that's not to say that Lakers wouldn't have a grueling, tough series against the Los Angeles Clippers, but I cannot tell you how much I love our chances. And I can't tell you how confident I am as the playoffs are progressing. You're getting a chance to see, damn, Lakers can win almost in any style. They can lock you up on defense. Now, they got to do it more for 48 minutes. They do. But when you take a 23-point lead against the Rockets like they did yesterday, did they get disinterested? They did. Can you do that against good teams? No, you can't. Or at least you shouldn't. You shouldn't play with fire like that. But that's just the position I think the Lakers are in. So let me kind of continue to transition here. I want to transition to part of the confidence I'm having in the Lakers, or the confidence I have in the Lakers getting number 17 this season. If you guys have been watching some Rajon Rondo, or maybe you guys have been listening to the broadcast right here with John Ireland and Michael Thompson when they're both doing the call, Rondo in this, let me read off some stats to you, all right? I'm going to read off some stats. Go on the internet, you grab stats, makes your points look better. I don't always do it. Rajon Rondo, Games 2, 3, and 4 against the Houston Rockets, all right? Pay attention to what Rajon Rondo has done. If you're driving right now, pull over on the side of the road. If anyone's in the car, tell them Alan Sliwa has amazing stats for me on Rajon Rondo. I got to pay attention. All right, Rondo so far. Game 2, 10 points, 9 assists, 5 steals, 4 of 9 from the field. Okay? Just pay attention to that. Game 2, 10 points, 9 assists, 5 steals. Game 3 in this Houston Rockets, Los Angeles Lakers best of 7 set. Lakers up 3-1. Just a reminder, I'm not throwing game 1 in there because he didn't have that good of a game. And oh, by the way, that's the first game he's played in like 6 months. Can the guy have a game to warm up? Game 3 for Rajon Rondo. 21 points, 9 assists, 8 of 11 from the field, plus 3 three-pointers. Lakers don't win that game. They do not win Game 3 without Rajon Rondo. They don't. Game 4, Rajon Rondo, which was yesterday. 11 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 5 of 8 from the field. You know that conversation that we've been having, and this conversation comes up a lot. We talk about who's the third best player on this team. Who's the, after LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who's it going to be? We've been having that conversation, by the way, for 8 or 9 months, and I've been one to be pushing that narrative as well. And it's a conversation because literally on a night-in, night-out basis, you don't know who else is going to step up. Well, let me say this. The third best player on this team, the third most important player on this team after LeBron James and Anthony Davis in this postseason is going to be Rajon Rondo. I say that with no hesitation, and it's really not even close. Think about who Rajon Rondo is. Think about his makeup. Think about how long he's been in the NBA. Everybody, if you ask anybody, this is one of the things I enjoy when I do the post-game show. I get to listen to these conversations these last couple of days. Listen to what Kuzma says when he talks about Rondo. Listen to what Alex Caruso says and the high praise he has for a player like Rondo. Okay, those two guys never been in the playoffs before. They're young. Listen to what LeBron James says when he talks about Rondo. Look at all the compliments Anthony Davis throws out when he talks about Rajon Rondo, somebody that's played with Rondo in the past as well. We know he played with him in New Orleans. Head coach Frank Vogel. Go down the list. I say all this. I actually saw something earlier today. Danny Green has that podcast, and Jared Dudley was on it back in like February. And Jared Dudley had said something to the extent of Lakers win a championship, have to win a championship with Rajon Rondo as a key factor. So I say all this because the conversation of who's the third best player for the Lakers, or I like using the word important, who's the third most important player on this Lakers team? LeBron and Anthony Davis, of course, every single night, they're expected to be top five players in the NBA. LeBron not even expected to be top five, to be the best player in the world on a night-in, night-out basis. Put all that to the side for a quick second. After those two players, it's not any more critical than Rajon Rondo. Somebody wants to make an argument and say, well, we'll hold up on Danny Green. Kyle Kuzma's that guy. No, Kuzma's not that guy. By the way, it's not Kuzma's fault. He's doesn't have the ability to be that guy. He's talented. He only knows so much. So his talent can only get him so far. It's the experience in the postseason that really kind of takes your game to the next level. All right, well, you could say, well, how about Danny Green? Well, Danny Green's struggling. And Danny Green isn't setting up other guys on a, you know, play-by-play basis. Danny Green isn't coming in for LeBron James and orchestrating the offense and dishing out in the last three games 9 assists, 9 assists, 8 assists. Danny Green can't do that. What Danny Green can do is try to play his best defense as he can, chill in the corner, and when Rajon Rondo or when LeBron James finds him, he can try and hit a three, and we know that he struggled this postseason. So that conversation about Rajon Rondo, this has been, in my opinion, the best part about the series against the Houston Rockets. Yes, you're up 3-1. I don't think you're up 3-1 if it's not for Rajon Rondo and his contributions this series. I really don't. I genuinely feel like the Lakers are not up 3-1 without Rajon Rondo coming out. Playoff Rondo, excuse me there. How disrespectful am I? Playoff Rondo coming out and doing what he's done in these last three games. And what makes me excited about, you know, when I say that, oh, I'm confident, Lakers look good, Clippers are overhyped, Lakers are only getting better as the postseason goes. One of the main reasons my confidence is so high now, or I'm starting to get more excited because I could kind of see, man, what can this look like later in the playoffs? It's what I feel Rondo can be for the Lakers versus the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's not pretend like tonight, you know, Denver won, the Nuggets won, and those who follow me on, you know, social, anytime the Clippers are playing another team, I root for the other team as if I'm from there. So tonight and this entire series against Denver, I root for Nuggets Nation. I mean, it's very important that the Denver Nuggets get as many wins as they can against the Los Angeles Clippers. But the Clippers are going to eventually win that series. I'm just happy that the Nuggets are prolonging the series a little bit. I think that could benefit the Lakers, you know, certainly from a rest perspective, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But when I say all that, the Rondo factor against the Los Angeles Clippers, when that showdown begins, that's going to be key for the Lakers. And that's what gets me excited because, you know, there's certain players on this Los Angeles Lakers team that have been there, done that. Rondo's one of those players. Dwight Howard is one of those players. JaVale McGee, by the way, is one of those players. Quinn Cook has championships under his belt. Danny Green does. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, we know how prepared he is for that Western Conference Finals. But Rajon Rondo, I don't want to say it's basically found money, but in a sense, We had no idea what we were going to expect from Rondo coming into the postseason, even though that coaching staff and LeBron James has always said they're not surprised what Rondo is doing. They're not. I mean, this is what their expectations were for Rondo once they got into the postseason. I guess the question mark just came down to how healthy would Rondo be? But when the Lakers play the Clippers eventually, Rondo's going to be in big-time minutes, and he's going to be playing that chess game on the floor that a coach can only do so much. He's going to be doing it with LeBron James on the floor. That chess game's going to be going on with those two players. And when I say that, you know, Lakers can adapt to any different style, Clippers are going to be a different style for the Lakers, and if they are going to try that kind of tough man, we're going to try and beat the Lakers down, and that kind of mentality, Markieff Morris, Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, LeBron James, I could go down the list of some tough guys for the Los Angeles Lakers, but damn does it feel good to see what Rajon Rondo's been doing so far in the postseason, what he's been doing these last three games. So I think that conversation of the third most important player on this Lakers team, who do you think it is? We don't have to bother anymore. That conversation is over. And I know a lot of people might say, Alan, what are you talking about? Look how small of a sample size that is. The sample size that I have is Rajon Rondo in the postseason, in the past, his entire career. So that's the sample size that I'm using. Brad Turner from the LA Times, BT as I like to call him, one of my favorite guys to bring on, one of my favorite guys to talk Los Angeles Lakers basketball with. When we come back, we will start talking a little bit specifically about this Game 5 tomorrow against the Houston Rockets, obviously a big game for the Los Angeles Lakers, and how important it is to close out this series tomorrow. And who would have thought? I didn't know I was going to be doing the show tonight. Where if the Lakers win tomorrow, they could actually even get some rest before the Western Conference Finals. Brad Turner from the LA Times coming up next. Thank you all. I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys listening to this show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
All right, quick little update here. The Celtics and the Raptors, Boston up. If Tatum hits this free throw with 4:50 left to go in the fourth quarter, they're going to go up by 10 points. So, yeah, listen, we can't get them all. We got one tonight with the Denver Nuggets. Toronto Raptors not coming through to this point. Want to welcome in Brad Turner of the LA Times. BT, what's going on, man? I mean, how good has this been, BT? We got all these great NBA games. Yesterday, the NFL started. I mean, for a time we went through with having no sports, now we're inundated with some great sports.
Oh man, you gotta love it, don't you?
I got TVs in the studio. I got TVs everywhere. Dodgers. That's right. No, that's right.
We can't fix. No, I know they got a really good team. I think do they still have the best record in baseball? The Dodgers.
They do. They got the best record in baseball right now.
Yeah, and
they'll be the clear favorites.
They have the second best player in baseball, and Mookie Betts, and he is proving that he is that player. He's that guy.
Well, BT, we got. Let's stay on the theme here of greats in you know sports. Tomorrow, the Los Angeles Lakers got a chance to end the series against the Houston Rockets. So they're up 3-1. I don't know if anything changed before the Clippers game, and if you have more incentive now. But just kind of throwing this out there, you got the Clippers that found a way. Or the Nuggets found a way to extend the series. It's 3-2. Now Clippers play on Sunday, which means if the Lakers can wrap things up tomorrow, they might actually get some rest before the Western Conference Finals. How big do you think it is? And you've been covering the NBA and the Lakers for so long. How big is it when you have somebody down to keep them down? And that's the opportunity Lakers have tomorrow.
Look, it is important because the Lakers showed just last night building a 23-point lead, it gets cut down to 5. Mm-hmm. They gave the Houston Rockets just a sliver of hope, and they took advantage of it. They didn't close it out. The Lakers didn't close the game out the way they wanted to, but you got a big shot from Caruso. They extend the lead to 3 points with, 35 seconds to go in the game. So just in that game alone, the Lakers know that you have to keep your foot on the gas pedal. Mm-hmm. You can't stop. You can't give a team an opportunity, give them a little hope to think they can come back and win a game, and let alone win a game, but win a series. So tomorrow night is important for the Lakers, for them to just more or less let the Rockets know we're the best team and let the rest of the NBA know that we are a team to deal with. We'd be difficult to beat.
BT, are they outperforming? Coming into the playoffs, it was hard to gauge the Lakers because those eight games were so meaningless for the Lakers as far as the result goes. But they also, they weren't playing crisp basketball. I don't think you were walking away from some of those games saying, that's the best I've seen Lakers basketball all season. Then the postseason starts. They're 7-2 so far. There was a lot of hype behind the Blazers because of the momentum they had. They beat them 4-1. Here they are against the Rockets, a chance to, you know, obviously close it out tomorrow. Are they performing better than you thought a month ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever the case is, whenever the postseason started? Or is what they're doing exactly what your expectations were?
You know, I actually thought the team we see now is who they would be. You know, I understand that they took, like everyone else did, all that time off. The last time they played a game was in March the 10th, I think. And then you pick up the games in the bubble. Didn't mean a lot to the Lakers. It only meant to get yourself prepared, get yourself back in shape, get back in game shape, get the continuity back again. That's what it meant for them. But by doing that, it also meant they had a slow start against Portland. And they lost that first game, but it woke them up. Mm-hmm. It got them ready. And so I expected what we're seeing now because I just know LeBron James is into this. And I know he can raise his level of play like he's done. And then he had AD to come along with him. And you just find that third player, and maybe it's the entire team. Last night, let's just say it was Alex Caruso. The game before that, it was Rajon Rondo. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, their defense was really good during the regular season. It was spotty in the bubble. But in these playoffs, these last three games, it has been unreal.
Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk. BT, stay on Rondo for a quick second. So I was just highlighting right before you came on, game two, Rondo, 10 points, 9 assists, 5 steals. Game three, 21 points, 9 assists. And game four, 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists, along with 2 steals. Rondo's been amazing, BT. And if this is something that can continue, if Rondo becomes the third most important player on this Lakers team after LeBron James and Anthony Davis, which I fully believe, I think he is, and I think he will, because he's done this before in the postseason in the past. If Rondo's contributions become consistent like this, does this take this Lakers team to a different level?
Oh, for sure. And I agree with you. I think he can be that third guy. And it doesn't have to mean that it's 14, 15, 16, 18 points.
100%.
It could be 8 mm-hmm. points and 5 assists and 3 steals and good defense and making a 3-point shot or 2. But it becomes a guy who can take the ball out of LeBron's hands, give him a chance to rest a little bit, not have to run the entire offense. And Rondo can get that second unit involved. He can also get the first team guys involved because he's so smart and so savvy. For some reason, he doesn't like playoff Rondo, but I don't care. Playoff Rondo, that's what he is. That's what he's showing us right now.
When I mentioned that to Michael Thompson yesterday, we were talking about playoff Rondo and this. He's like, well, I wish I had nicknames like that. I mean, Rondo doesn't want that nickname. I'm sure every former NBA player would be loving a nickname like that. BT, so, you know, we get a chance between games, and I know pregame too, obviously postgame, we get a chance to listen to head coach Frank Vogel. And I don't know if Marvel is the right word, but the chess match is so interesting always in the playoffs between all these teams and all these coaches and so forth. You think we're giving enough credit to head coach Frank Vogel? And I'll use this Rockets series as an example because James Harden is one of arguably the toughest players to guard in the NBA because just his capability on offense, he can hit the three, he could drive to the basket, he could draw fouls, he could dish. I mean, there's so many things he could do. And I feel like the Lakers have adjusted every single game a little bit more where the Rockets are still doing the exact same thing. Are we giving enough credit to Coach Frank Vogel?
Well, first, let's just say this. The Rockets can only do what they're doing. There's no adjustments for them.
Sure.
Their adjustment is to shoot more threes. The next adjustment is to shoot another three. Now, I will give the Rockets credit. They have played really good defense in the bubble, in the playoffs.
Yep.
But you have to give Frank Vogel, I think, a lot of credit. I think what's forgotten, really, is that he was a great defensive coach when he was with the Indiana Pacers. And that's what we're starting to see again. But what he's also done, Frank Vogel has made adjustments to downsize somewhat. Let's think, in the second half of game three, he started Markieff Morris.
Right.
And he took JaVale McGee on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That was big for them. Then he decided to start Markieff Morris and not play JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard at all in game four. Well, we say he downsized. LeBron James is what, 6'8", 6'9"? Markieff is what, 6'9", 6'10"? AD is 6'10"? They're still big and active and very good at what they do. And that's something that Frank Vogel did and took advantage of. Not only that, but he made sure that all the guys that are not playing, Dwight and JaVale, had their head in the game. They stayed engaged. They didn't mope. They didn't complain. They are part of the team, even if they're not playing a lot of games. And that's also coaching. That's communicating. That's letting you guys know that you're a part of this. No matter what happens, you're going to be a good role player, whether you play or not. That is really good coaching as well.
It's well put. Very well put. BT, Brad Turner from the LA Times joining Lakers Talk. Brad, how do you think tomorrow plays out? Do you think the Lakers come out and they kind of, I guess you could say, I know they already did this in game four, where I think they took out a lot of the air out of the Rockets' sail, but just kind of keeping in mind tomorrow and how the Lakers come out in the first quarter, second quarter. We always hear teams say or coaches say the toughest game is always the last game to close out those closeout series. How do you think tomorrow plays out?
Well, I think the Lakers have learned a lesson about playing hard to the end. And if that's actually true, that they've done that, then if they come out, play the right way, they play tough, play with pace, play great defense, make their shots, make it difficult on Russell Westbrook and James Harden. I don't see how the Lakers can lose tomorrow night. Not only that, I'm not sure how much the Houston Rockets are into this.
I agree.
They didn't show much of that at all until the last 7 minutes when they made the run. And then you sort of have this idea, maybe we can do something for show more than really win the game. So I expect the Lakers to win. It won't be easy because none of these games are easy. But I think if they are focused and they have that determination and they had the right guy to lead them, the guy named LeBron James. So if you have that, you have a chance to win the game and win the series.
All right, BT, let's say Lakers take care of business. Let's say the Clippers take care of business eventually, and it's the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. Who's got the edge in that series right now? Just based off of you know, the info that you have now, seeing these teams so far in the postseason, it's going to be a showdown. Who would you say has the edge?
Man, Alan, I used to always say, and I still say the same thing, that the Clippers have a better team 1 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers have the best two players, the best duo in AD and LeBron, but Kawhi and Paul George are just right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Based on where the Lakers have played the last two games, I have to call it a toss-up because those teams are so evenly matched in their own ways. I mean, they play different styles of basketball, and Kawhi is just, he's amazing. I mean, he's this force that you have to deal with every single time down court. I'll tell you this, Alan. I will be in Orlando at those games. I'm going to be at that game. I'm going to enjoy every one of them. If they happen to meet each other, let's not get ahead of ourselves because Lakers are still up 3-1.
I already previewed the whole series. What do you mean don't get ahead?
You know what I mean? It'll be fun if they meet in the Western Conference Finals.
So, BT, you're traveling to the bubble for that. For technically, if it is the case, the Western Conference Finals, you'll be there for that.
I will be there for that. Yes, I am. I'm flying down there tomorrow morning.
Oh, look at you!
Give me luck.
Look at you. What's your thoughts going into the bubble? And you know, the I know Tanya Ganguly, one of your co-workers, was there for a while. What's your thought of heading down there and covering these games?
Well, I guess I should clarify what I'm really doing.
Mm-hmm.
My co-worker, Dan Wolke, replaced Tanya in the bubble.
Okay.
I am going to be in what's called Tier 2, which means I get to go to the games only. I watch the games at the top of the arena.
That's right. That's
and then
right.
I do the Zoom, the same thing that you and I do from home. I do the Zooms. The only thing I get to have over anyone else is that I'm in the arena and I can watch the games face-to-face.
Mm.
And maybe I can see a few more things, pick a few things up. And I'll be doing that on a daily basis. But I still have to be tested twice a week. And I still have to be safe. I can't go to practice. But being in an arena, which I have not been in one since March, I think it'll be fun. I've heard nothing but good things about this from my friends who have been down there in their so-called Tier 2, that you do see a lot more at the game than you see on TV.
How long do you quarantine for?
I don't quarantine because all I'm
have
doing
interaction.
Is,
again,
I'm not going to be in a bubble.
That's right.
So what I do is I fly down tomorrow. I go and take a COVID-19 test mm-hmm. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully everything's fine. I feel good. And if I pass that test, then I am allowed to go to a game probably the following day, which would be a Monday. Or if not Monday, then probably on Tuesday.
Well, BT, number one, safe travels. I hope you enjoy your time out there. And I know it's going to be obviously a very, very interesting experience. Hopefully the Lakers can take care of business tomorrow against the Houston Rockets. And you know I always love having you on and getting your insight. So thank you for doing this, my man.
Well, my pleasure, man. I'll be around. Give me a call and do me a favor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you have Michael Thompson please give me my wine?
Unbelievable how long this has gone for. I mean, this is...
I know.
Everybody on air, everybody, we all think we knew who Michael Thompson was. The reality is he's holding a bottle of wine that's supposed to be Brad Turner's, and I can only imagine how long he's been holding it for. BT, I will pass on the message tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Brad Turner.
All right, Adam.
All right, man. That's Brad Turner right there from the LA Times. A couple things that BT mentioned. By the way, let me do this. Let me stop pretending like there isn't a game going on right now. When we come back, let me update everybody on the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors. We got that coming up next. Stay right here. You're listening to Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, well, that definitely didn't end the way we wanted to see it end. If you don't know what I'm talking about, in the background here at 710 ESPN, we got the Celtics and the Raptors game on. So it was 90-87. By the way, Toronto can't get an offensive rebound. They had a couple chances to score, a couple chances to beat the Boston Celtics, and didn't happen. 92-87, Celtics now up by 5, and there's about 8 seconds left. So it looks like the Boston Celtics will take on the Miami Heat in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know when they're going to do it. Maybe they'll do it Sunday. By the way, let me actually go to that real quick. So I'm talking to Brad Turner from the LA Times, and part of the conversation was, looks like the game is now officially over. Boston Celtics going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Jason Tatum's got his hands up, and Celtics won 92-87. All right, so Celtics advance. Couple things here. We'll find out when they end up playing. I don't know when they're going to do game one, but the Western Conference is, everything is delayed right now. Lakers have game 5 tomorrow. Clippers will have game 6. So it's not going to be until next week, potentially midweek next week, until the Western Conference Finals can start, maybe even further than that, depending on how long some of these series go. But I want to go back to this. The schedule has been interesting. So what are they going to do? So Lakers play tomorrow. If Clippers play on Sunday, are they just going to start right back up again on Tuesday? So are they giving nobody any rest? I mean, Lakers could be very fortunate in this whole mix. Everybody thought the Clippers were going to eventually have more rest than the Lakers. I know Brad Turner said, stop pretending like this. The Lakers series is over and the Denver Nuggets and Clippers series is over, but I'm kind of pretending like it's over. But there's this kind of question mark here of, okay, well, when will the next series start? I heard Ireland talking about this yesterday. Because they're in this Orlando bubble, There's not going to be much rest. They're going to try and just keep going. They're in a position here where, you know, obviously big picture for the NBA, it's been flawless the way they've done everything. It's been unbelievable the fact that there has been no positive tests, and hopefully that goes the rest of the way. But they're also trying to be very cautious and understand that getting this series over at some point sooner than later, getting the NBA playoffs over sooner or later, obviously serves everybody well. But I wonder if the Lakers are going to play on Tuesday. And this is why tomorrow's game becomes so critical for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's not just critical because you want to finish off the Houston Rockets. It's not just critical because you want to finish off a series. It's critical because all those reasons are critical, but there's more reasons to it. But because the Clippers lost tonight, you can win tomorrow, kick back on Sunday, kick back on Monday, and then at the earliest play on Tuesday, but at least you get two full days of rest. At least you get two full days of rest. And it sounds like a lot of these players right now, I know we might look at it and say, oh, it's not a big deal what they're doing. They're fine. They're in this, they're staying at top-notch resorts. They get whatever they want. No, the reality is these guys are grinding on a night-in, night-out basis, so I don't question that at all. You know, one of the questions I had about the Lakers when we were walking into the postseason, one of the questions I've had this entire time was, by the way, if you want to be a part of the Lakers talk, you guys know that if there's anybody that enjoys talking Lakers basketball, taking phone calls, getting your opinion, getting your thoughts on all these important subjects and topics, I enjoy doing it. So 877-710-ESPN, if you're driving around right now, listening on the ESPN app or whatever it is, feel free to call in. But one of the question marks I had about the Lakers that has certainly been answered in both the Portland series and this series against the Houston Rockets. So I want to go back a little bit here. Let's go back to round one for a quick second. Lakers had a very big game leading up to game four versus the Blazers. They were up 2-1, and one of two scenarios were going to play out. And I had mentioned this at the time. I said either the Lakers are going to give life and hope to the Portland Trailblazers in this game four, or they're going to bury them and go up 3-1. And that game four, if you guys remember, Lakers blew them out. They won 135-115. They were up 29 at the half. They ended up winning by 20 points, and six guys scored in double figures for the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, then the Lakers play the Houston Rockets leading up to game four. I'm doing the pregame show yesterday with Michael Thompson. I'm reminding MT. I said, Michael, listen, they've been in this position one time so far in the postseason. They were up 2-1 against Portland. And that game four, where you can really, really take control of the series, Lakers delivered. Lakers in that series against the Portland, against the Blazers, had this killer instinct. And I'm very curious about the Lakers. Okay, we've never seen this team together in the postseason. We don't know how they're going to react in situations like this. So yesterday, the picture was almost identical leading up to game four against the Rockets. Are the Lakers going to give the Houston Rockets hope? Are they going to let the Rockets tie the series up 2-apiece? Or are they going to bury them? What did the Lakers do? They're up all game. They're up 23 at one point. They end up winning by 10. Six guys score in double figures. Lakers' defense was outstanding. So why is that important? Why were those games so important? Because this is when you start seeing, does your team have a killer instinct? Does your team smell blood in the water, or taste blood in the water, whatever the case is, right? Do they have this... do they have this mentality that when we have somebody down, we take them out? We rip any hope that team has, we take it away. That's a huge, huge aspect for the Los Angeles Lakers. So tomorrow, when they're facing the Houston Rockets, they're going to be in this position again, where now it's game five, you can end the series. And you got there's so much incentive to end the series tomorrow. A, you don't want to give life... you don't want to give hope to another team. B, you want the most amount of rest that you could possibly get before the Western Conference Finals. C, you want to limit the risk of injuries and everything. There's so many reasons why you want to win tomorrow and you want to close out the series. But I thought something Brad Turner said that was incredibly interesting, but at the same time, we noticed this watching these Lakers games, especially the last game. The Rockets just didn't look like they had it. The Rockets yesterday looked like a team that had no chance against the Los Angeles Lakers, not physically, not on the floor, mentally. Weren't there moments in that game from the Rockets where their body language said that, no, I don't think we have a chance to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. We are not coming back and winning this series. That's what I noticed yesterday. So Lakers got a chance, obviously, tomorrow to continue to take care of business. And if they can do that tomorrow, it's obviously going to be advantageous to this Lakers team where they could sit back on Sunday, sit back on – how about Sunday? You win tomorrow, you could sit back Sunday, you could watch all these NFL games, you could watch the Denver Nuggets game. I don't even know if they're going to have the Eastern Conference Finals start on Sunday as well. That could happen. Okay, so we do this every week. We do our top NBA stories. So coming up next, quick plug, by the way, Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Rockets for the Houston Chronicle, he's coming up at 9:30, and he'll kind of fill us in on the Rockets side, how that team is feeling over there coming into Game 5. But when we come back, we got our top NBA stories. If you missed any part of the show, just always know you could download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. And then also another plug, tomorrow, the Lakers taking on the Houston Rockets. Pre-game show starts at 3 p.m. tomorrow, so don't forget that. Top NBA stories coming up next. You're listening to Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.